This is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation. This lesson contains a couple of helpful things I learned while reading two books by Shanti Feldhahn, For Men Only and For Women Only. There's some good insight for both husbands and wives. It was presented to our adult Bible study at Eastside Church in Marietta, Georgia for Valentine's 2016. Note that discussions are edited when personal information is being shared. God bless you as we study His Word. So what we'll do this morning is bring what I anticipate will be a timely lesson on marriage stuff. It's been a long time since we have talked anything about marriage stuff, and I'm mainly doing this for Greg, but for the rest of us as well, that we could be reminded of some important stuff with respect to our marriages. And specifically what happened was I bought these books. Remember when we had the study on divorce in Three Easy Lessons? Remember how to? Three Easy Lessons on Divorce? No. When we had the study about divorce and how actually that the statistics we hear are hyperinflated, way beyond reality and all that stuff. Well, the lady that did the research for that actually showed the real stats versus what we hear so often, also wrote a couple of books on marriage for women only and for men only. Her name is Shanti Feldhahn, or something like that. Her husband, Jeff, collaborated with her and actually this book is from his voice, for men only. But these books, actually, they've just been sitting on my bedside for forever. But as I started thinking about what we would do today, I thought, well, that'd be a good source, see what they're about, see if they're any good. And I have to tell you, I was just blown away. I haven't read all of both of them yet. But what I wanted to do this morning is just bring like the first really big idea from each of those two books. And so what we'll have this morning is kind of a perspective for the guys to hear, which I think is really helpful. And then a perspective for the ladies to hear. And I think that that'll be really helpful also. And I just... You know, you'd think that after being on the planet for 52 years, after being married for nearly 25 years, that that I wouldn't be able to read a book and just be blown away by how incredibly insightful it is and why didn't I think of that kind of stuff. But that's exactly what happened with these. So I hope that as we talk about that today, that it will give you some insight, whether you are married or not. All right. Yeah, I have some right behind Greg over there. Thank you. Okay, and we are going to have a scripture passage that we will study, I won't say in great depth, but look into fairly deeply, but we're going to do that at the end. Okay, so don't worry, we will have scripture this morning, but that will be where we conclude our study this morning instead of start as we usually do. Okay, now first of all, we're going to start out with the perspective for the guys to hear. And since I'm not a girl, this stuff to me, I'm basically telling you what I read, and you ladies can either say, no, that's stupid, I've never felt that way before, or that for the most part, and you know, this is like any statistical thing, it may be the majority, it may be typical, but it's not everyone. And so I get that. So there may be some of you who say, no, that's not like me, that's more like my husband, and that's possible. But this is the majority. And one of the things that I like about the books, and the reason I bought those, is because after reading that the book on divorce, I was really impressed with her thoroughness of research. And that's really what these books are, is these books are the results of surveys that she did of thousands and thousands of people, mainly Christians, but not in every case Christians. And so this really is a fairly good slice of statistical research that they base both of these books on. And I really like that. It's not how I feel. It's not what I discovered in having fights with my husband or wife. It is doing this research. This is how these are the facts that turned up from those surveys. And here are some practical ways to look at those things and apply them. All right, so first of all, for the guys to hear, this is something that for us is kind of is going to be, maybe it's hard for me to even try to put myself in these shoes. Obviously, her feet are much smaller than mine, and the biggest problem with that, as much as I try, it just doesn't work. But things that I read about that may be true about you is this first section that we're going to talk about. Now, guys, for us, we are wired in a very particular way, nearly all of us. We would say about ourselves, or we would at least admit about ourselves, that we are wired to conquer. We are wired to achieve. We are wired to accomplish goals. And once we get there, we're done. It's on to the next challenge, on to the next accomplishment. And so for us, whenever we found the woman of our dreams, that's you guys, and when we then wooed you and courted you, it fit very much into our wiring that you would be a challenge for us to conquer. But once we married you, from our perspective, in a very real but not demeaning way, we were done. We are wired then to go on to the next challenge. But guys, what we need to hear about our ladies, many of them, is that they are not wired that way at all, and in fact, that the deal is never closed with your wife. Just because you both signed the wedding marriage certificate, just because you both said I do, from your perspective, done. From her perspective, well, that was a really meaningful event, but it still goes on. She still needs to be, to feel loved every day, and that's to us as guys, maybe a challenge. Your wife, just because you feel like that your marriage may be the most sealed deal you've ever achieved, for your wife, it's the opposite of that. Your wife does not feel permanently loved just because the marriage papers are signed. Now, a key word in that statement is the word feel. Because your wife will acknowledge, yep, there's a marriage certificate. Yep, there's a picture or a video of us getting married. I remember I said I do. And so intellectually, she would agree, yep, we did it. But she doesn't feel that every day. Just because that happened, and she would logically admit that, she doesn't necessarily feel that that's the case. Now, for us guys, there's an old joke, an old saying, that where the guy says, I told you I loved you when I married you. If anything changes, I'll let you know. And of course, we don't say that, but unfortunately, I think that we as husbands live that more than we would love to admit. Now, and really, we talked about a moment ago how guys are typically wired. Ladies are typically wired in a very specific way as well, and that is a latent insecurity about whether they are loved or even if they are lovable. And that's, as I said, it doesn't apply to everyone, but apparently, statistically, that is the case with many women. And the problem is that if a wife doesn't feel loved, she will show signs of distress, which is when we start having conflict with one another and start feeling like things aren't going so well. Yeah, did you love the way that was? Yeah, signs of distress. Now, I know this sounds crazy for us as guys, because why would my wife ever think that I don't love her completely? I mean, I'm still here, right? I still go to work every day. I still, you know, all the things. I still mow the grass. Of course I love her. You know, what else could I do to express that?
Jonathan, do you really mow the grass?
No, I don't anymore.
Okay, yeah.
No, but I did until very recently.
Okay,
yes. I did until I realized that as I looked around, all the guys that are out there mowing are as big as I was. And the only reason I did my own grass was because I thought it was part of my workout regimen. And when I realized that wasn't helping them, it probably wasn't going to help me.
Okay.
I said, forget this mess. I'll hand that over to someone else. All right, so this isn't logical, but it is a real feeling that many wives have. And there's a great example, though, guys, of a situation where many of us feel exactly the same way that may help us relate. Guys, I don't know if you are this way. I am definitely this way. You know, I work so hard at work. I give it everything. I try to do everything with excellence at the best that it possibly can be done. I study so I can get better at it. I try really, really, really hard to do a good job. And over the years, I turn 15 in my current job tomorrow. And generally, things have gone well. I've won that trip that we were talking about a moment ago, 12 out of the 15 years that I've been in this position. And nobody's done that. Nobody has done that. At the same time, all that stuff being said, in my mind, so often is a constant fear that a couple of mistakes, a change of somebody's whim way up here, somebody looking at a spreadsheet or something else, that I could lose my job just like that. I'm doing a great job, and yet I have that constant fear of losing my job. That is exactly what many wives feel for just as illogically the same reasons. It's feelings, it's emotions. And so that may help us understand how our wives may be feeling. All right. Now, here's some statistics. 4 out of 5 women acknowledged sometimes feeling insecure about their man's love and relationship. That's 80%. Among women under 45, which is most of you in here, ladies, the percentage jumped to 91%. And among those with children in middle school, think about the correlation there, among those with children in middle school or younger, it was almost universal that they felt at risk of not being loved. And think about that, because remember, those of you who don't have middle school children anymore, those of us who do, remember how we feel this morning. The pressure, the stress of having young children all the time, that how it drains you, and having that, you know, your love tank or whatever you want to call it, depleted, that will cause you to feel more and more susceptible to that risk of being unloved. All right, so that's some background. Now, it's not logical, but if she doesn't feel love, it's the same for her as if she is not loved. Now, here are some triggers that can cause a wife to feel unloved. Conflict with you. Conflict with you. So fights. When we get in arguments, it can cause her to immediately begin questioning, oh no, does he still love me? It's illogical, but it's how she feels in many cases. So conflict. Withdrawal of the guy. Now, that oftentimes happens as a result of or in the middle of conflict, and it's difficult because, and we're going to talk more about this in just a moment, but as a guy in the middle of a fight, I want to run the other way for a lot of reasons. If we're in the middle of a fight and I think that my words may be at risk of being taken the wrong way or used against me later, then I'm going to be quiet. I am going to withdraw naturally. That's my defense mechanism. And so, but at the same time, that withdrawal just reinforces that feeling inside the wife of, oh no, what if he doesn't come back? You know, that being alone. Unloved. Silence, just silence, is a potential trigger of this feeling of being unloved. The quote, if you're quiet, it must be me. No, if I'm quiet, it may be because I'm a quiet person. That's much more likely the case than there's something wrong. But yet that still can trigger that feeling of being unloved. And then finally, her emotional bank account is depleted, which can happen in a lot of ways. Remember the book, is it 5 Love Languages, that kind of made that concept popular? And we talked about it then, how that every interaction that you have really with anyone, but most importantly and specifically today with your spouse, every interaction is either positive or negative. It either deposits into that emotional bank account or it withdraws. Well, as a wife, there are other people who have check writing abilities on that account also. namely your children, your parents, your close friends. All those people are writing checks, making withdrawals, hopefully making deposits as well. But especially if you're in the earlier stages of life with kids, with young kids and stuff, then those, then your bank account, emotional bank account, can be depleted very, very easily. If that's the case, then you will just more quickly and fall into that trap of feeling unloved. All right, so for us guys, let's try to make this practical. For us guys, how can we try to help with this thing? Now, the first one I really hate, the first ones. There are two different ways. One is regular reassurance, and the second way is proactively pursuing her. Those are the two ways. We'll talk in detail about what that looks like. Regular reassurance. And the question in her mind, apparently, ladies, do you still love me? And as we mentioned earlier, that happens a whole lot when there's conflict, when there's a struggle going on. But do you still love me? And this is, I hate this stuff, but it's what it said, and I'm really bad at it. Why am I teaching this? I have no idea, to be honest. During conflict.
What are you bad at?
I'm about to tell you. No,
yeah,
trust me.
I don't think you're bad at
it. Ask her. During conflict, reassure her of your love, which is the opposite of anything that I would even think about for a second.
I'm talking to you, but I love you.
Well, and that's really kind of the gist of the message here that we as husbands need to try to do, to say whenever this is going on. Because remember the conflict, what's my natural response? Run away. Shut up and run away. That's what I do, which only reinforces that feeling of risk, of being unloved in my wife. So what apparently we are supposed to learn to do is to, even in those moments, yeah, we're fighting, but I still love you. We're okay. This isn't the big one. This is... For instance, here's even a quote that we can use, guys, to take with and make it our own somehow, different words like or something. I'm angry right now, and I need some space, but I want you to know we're okay. Just something like that, apparently, would make a huge difference. In fact, 95% of women said that if a husband in the middle of a conflict, if the husband who needed space and really wanted to run away, if he would just say those words or something to that effect, 91% said that that would diminish or eliminate their emotional turmoil in that moment. 91%. So guys, we have the opportunity to make a huge difference in those situations if we would just suck it up, man up, and at least say a sentence or two before we run the other way. And 86% of those same women said that if they would say that, it would help make them more likely to give you the space that you really, really want to have at that moment. Okay, that's pretty practical. Now, I hate it, but it is very practical. Pamela, yes, ma'am.
And it's true. You don't get angry with people that you don't care about. That's most of the time, say.
It's a great point. In fact, Trina just the other day mentioned that really wise statement. Hatred is not the opposite of love. Ambivalence is, or
right.
Indifference. Indifference. Sorry, indifference. So that's what really causes. So, you know, that's what really shows the opposite of love is that indifference. All right. So during conflict. Idea number one, reassure your wife of your love, number one. Number two, if she's upset, realize that she doesn't need space, she needs a hug.
There are so, exceptions to that.
So, we're okay. Something like that, yes.
God talked to her on that one.
I thought you were supposed to stay out of
Henri. Yeah, it's wise. And what this lady, the author of the book, said she was speaking to a conference, and she said that to them,
And some guy shouted out, "You mean hug the porcupine?"
Oh.
And the answer is yes, exactly that, unfortunately. Yeah. All right, so if she's upset, then realize that even though she may be pushing you away, she actually needs a hug. All right, now the third idea, if she's being difficult, if she's being difficult, don't stop. Keep reassuring her of your love. The more in love she feels, the more likely she is to push you away and make it harder for you to love her. But actually, she's just doing that as a mechanism to try to see how much you love her, to see how much you'll put up with, to get back to that loving action. But the question is, do you still love me?
Well, that seems like a what not to do. That would just really...
Well, it's not suggesting that the woman's behavior is optimal. It's just reality in some cases. And so, how can a guy deal with it in a way that really is positive, and makes a positive movement instead of reinforcing the negative, running away, I'm out of here kind of response? I don't know. I'm not a woman.
Yeah, I am. So yeah. I just say you don't have a uterus. Oh,
wow. All right, so. Do you love me? That's the question. All right, so that's regular reassurance. Now, the really better idea here is for us not to have to deal with that, but instead for us as guys to pursue our wives daily. And the real issue is, what was it that you did back when you were trying to woo her and court her and try to win her over to your idea and all? What was it that you did? Well, keep doing it. That's really the way to get to the point where her emotional bank account is filled, and the times of conflict, there's not this strong feeling of, oh no, am I not being loved here, and all that kind of stuff. So remember that for women, there's not a moment that she finally feels, oh, I feel permanently loved. I will never not need to be loved again. I'm fully convinced. And so how do you pursue your wife? Well, here's some, that's funny. That's very funny. Okay, I made a typographical mistake in my notes. All right, so what did you do? Now, remember that some of the things that we did were pretty major, right? Like take them on a surprise trip to some other city and state for a dinner. You know, that kind of stuff. Those were pretty big kinds of things that we might have done when we were younger and courting and stuff. But it doesn't have to be that big, right? Just little things like spending time together, just like you did when you were courting or dating. Listening. Thank you.
Perfect. Slow there, Emily.
Yeah. Flirting with her. And I thought this was funny. This is typical of a book recently written. Just send her, just like you did when you were recording, send her a text during the day that says hi. Now, when we were recording, there was no such thing as texts or emails or any of that, but send a text. Today we can do it. You can send a text that just says hi. Hope you're having a great day. I love you. That kind of stuff. Talking about the dreams that you share together and anything that you did back then that proved that you were smitten with her. So those are the ways, if you will just keep doing that, then it will help your wife always feel loved every day. And our response might be, but gosh, that wore me out during that however many month or year period trying to win your heart over. That's why I got married, is so I could stop doing all that stuff. But really, it's not the big stuff. It's the little stuff that we can actually do without any big difficulty. Anyway, so there you go. Guys, that was for you. I don't know if your ladies agree or not. That's something you could talk about today. So what about that stuff that Jonathan said out of that book? Was he nuts? Was he completely nuts? Or do you really feel that way sometimes? So anyway, so there's a potential topic for you guys to do on your Valentine's date tonight.
We also add to that whole book is the notion of the work. There are some people who like active service. There are some people who like romantic, can't live, use other people. would laugh at you if you could, you know, can't make dinners.
Yes.
I mean, it really depends on the, on really, I love that book, Love Language.
Yeah, me too.
And when you're differently, you know, wired for love language, most people
are. Most people are, yeah, most marriages are.
It was, I'm not supposed to please me, I'm supposed to please the other person.
Yes, but we naturally love people the way we like to be loved.
Well,
so that's why we have to learn the other language.
But I did this for you, and they go, so what?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's a very, very good book and principle. All right, ladies, it's your turn. And what I want to do is talk to you guys about another misapprehension that this one blew me away, by the way. I had no idea. Here I am a guy, and I should have known this stuff because I live it out so effectively all the time, and yet it blew me away as I read this stuff. So, ladies, this is for you guys to discover today. It was for me, though, to discover this week in preparation for our time together. Women, what you need to know is that your love is not enough. Your love for your husband is not enough. Now, what does that mean? Listen to this. Statistically, if given the opportunity...
We all know what he's going to say.
Yes. I know, he's making a diagram. I'm kind of scared. He already gave us homework.
You guys are so wrong. You're going to be so surprised. Distracting me. See, you're distracting me. If given the opportunity in a survey, however many thousand guys it was, I can't remember, the guys that were asked, which one of those two bad things, which would you prefer the least? What would you hate the most? To feel unloved and alone, or to feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone? And 3/4 of the guys said, this one right here would be the worst. That would be the worst. The problem is, though, that they didn't understand the question, because what most of the guys said after the survey was, those are both the same thing. If I feel inadequate and disrespected, I feel alone and unloved. And that's an amazing outcome. Your love is not enough for us as wives. That is not what it's going to take. In fact, most guys, Andy Stanley said this in a sermon here a while back, most guys could live the rest of their life never hearing you say, I love you, as long as you effectively and meaningfully make them feel adequate and respected. Wow. How about that? You don't understand how important this is to a guy. Well, here's now, first of all, what are some examples of respect? Trust, showing trust, demonstrating trust in your husband, showing appreciation for what they do, for what we do, admiration of their abilities and stuff, belief in them, assuming the best about them, and honoring them, especially in public. We'll talk about all these things in depth in a moment. Now, here's the big question, though, and this one sentence is what blew me away. Never knew this, but wow, did it make sense when I read it. How do you know when you have crossed the disrespect line, ladies? How do you know? What's the barometer for you have disrespected your husband? How do you know? His anger. If you see your husband being angry, that is a reflection of your disrespect for him. To me, that was a shocker. That was a shocker. And you say, well, oh, that's not right. Let me ask you, ladies, is it a reasonable response? It might not be your response, but is it a reasonable, typical, acceptable response for a lady when or either during or after a fight with her husband to cry? Is that a typical, acceptable
response for a lady. It depends on the personality, but nobody's going to say, oh, you know, you cried. That's, why can't you control yourself? So why are you going to say to your husband, what do you mean you got angry at me? Why can't you control yourself? Crying is a very typical response of a lady during or after conflict. Being angry is a very typical response for a man who feels disrespected. And that right there, if that's all you hear today, ladies, that is enough. That is a takeaway that may change things for you. Dr. Emerson Eggerichs, I guess is how you pronounce this guy's name, he said this, just to kind of tie a bow around it, in a relationship conflict, crying is often a woman's response to feeling unloved, and anger is often a man's response to feeling disrespected. All right. Statistics, in the middle of a conflict with my wife, I am more likely to be feeling, one, that my wife doesn't respect me or that my wife doesn't love me. 81% said that in that conflict, they feel like their wife does not respect them. Only 19% were not feeling loved at that moment.
So basically men spell love, not to be funny, but I'm serious.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. That's right. All right, so just like ladies, you need your husband to love you unconditionally, even when you don't feel lovable. Your husband needs for you to respect him, even if he may not at that time appear to you to be very respectable. It is the way that you love him. Now, let's talk a little bit practically here real quick about that. What if you don't respect him? I mean, what if you don't feel a bit of respect for your husband? And there are times that that's a pretty justifiable feeling, admittedly so. Well, there are two possible causes. Two possible causes of that feeling on your part of a lack of respect for your husband. One is what that Dr. Eggerichs calls the crazy cycle. And that is a death spiral, whatever it is, a vicious cycle that just gets worse and worse. And that is that, let's say that the husband doesn't feel respected, that really, like it or not, excusable or not, that causes him to be much less likely to love his wife, which causes her to be much less likely to see him as respectable, which causes, you know, and so you can see the cycle that it just gets worse and worse. So recognizing that may be a solution to the problem. And guess how you fix that? You start respecting your husband, showing him meaningful respect. And wow, what might happen with your husband when he feels respected? He might start loving you better, which would make him more respectable in your eyes. And you could turn that into a benevolent cycle that will, in fact, improve your relationship. The other thing that could be the case is because of what you say about your husband. Because for a woman, especially, your words, your actions can become your feelings. So if you often verbally disrespect your husband, think things about his lack of respectability, those thoughts and words can make you start feeling that, and thus you lose that feeling of respect. Well, how do you fix that? You change your words. You start speaking respectable things about your husband. And it's shocking, ladies, how often that won't turn into real, honest, genuine feelings of respect that you have for your husband after that. Hopefully that's practical and useful. All right. Now realize that just like ladies, if you were really feeling like your emotional bank account was drained and you're having a fight with your husband and you say, I don't feel like you love me, and he said, I love you, honey, that probably isn't going to blow your skirt up and make everything okay. Well, in the same way, your husband needing respect, yeah, it's not going to help. Not going to blow his skirt up. If you go up to him and say, "Wow, I respect you," that's not going to work. That's not going to help. But there are a lot of things that you can say that will. Words like, "I'm so proud of you," if you mean it. "Thank you for whatever you did." "I trust you. This decision that we need to make, I trust your judgment to make a good decision." That kind of stuff. That is how you show your husband respect in meaningful ways. So I've got a few. I've got a few ways specifically to respect your husband. Respect his judgment. That's his knowledge, his opinions, his decisions. Listen to this. When I read this, I thought, "Wow, that is so true and sad." Many men, feel as if their opinions and decisions were actively valued in every area of their life, except at home. And I'll tell you, at work, I feel like my coworkers respect me, value my input, ask me for help, and listen to me. My employees call me when they have a difficult thing that they're trying to figure out a solution for it. They call me. And it's really awesome that many times at the end of the phone call, they're saying, "Wow, I never thought of it that way. That's going to work. That's what I'm going to do." You don't know how respected that makes me feel, but I'll read it again now. Many men feel as if their opinions and decisions were actively valued in every area of life except at home. Their coworkers trust their judgment more than their own wives do. How do you show your husband that you don't trust his judgment? Order him around. Treat him like he's a kid. Treat him like he's stupid. That's how you do it. We need to speed through these. Ladies, how else can you show respect? Respect his abilities. Let him fix stuff. Even if he's not the best handyman, don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. My goodness. Let him fix it. Let him get lost. Let him fix it. Respect what he accomplishes. When girls are children, they generally wonder, "Am I special? Am I lovable?" Boy children, don't ask any of those questions. They want to know, "Do I measure up? Am I good at what I do?" That's what a boy wants to know. And guess what? That's what we want to know today as well. Saying something like, "Wow, you did a great job at whatever." That is everything for a guy. You're a great dad. Any of those things, those really are powerful. When you say things, though, make sure that there's no hidden criticism in what you say. "Wow, once you finally got around to it, you did a great job fixing this." That wasn't it. That one not only didn't help, it hurt. So be careful with what you say. And by the way, it may sound like, you know, we're babies and all that kind of stuff. Maybe we are, but know that that's how we are. And that one of the things in that book said, the male ego is incredibly fragile. Yes, sir.
You sort of skated around, so I'm surprised it hasn't come up. I think one of the most destructive things that a wife can do is criticize a husband.
That's on the list. Okay. Yes, sir, we will get there.
Nothing. It goes exactly to this issue. Because I would have a feeling that men certainly, I mean everybody, at some level thinks they're an imposter.
Yes.
At some level we think we don't really measure up. And yep. If other people found out, that would our world would crumble.
That's a chapter in the book.
The person who knows you best, criticizes you in public. Right?
That is a chapter in the book about how that we are afraid someone's going to find out that we're an imposter. Very good. Thank you, Bruce. All right, the next item here, respect in communication. And this isn't the public thing yet. That comes next. But the things that you say, be really careful. Be careful with what you say. Make sure that you're not expressing disappointment. because that is a killer for your husband. Make sure that you're not attacking somehow with what you say. Make sure that you're respectful in the questions you ask. Like, do you know how to do this? To you, that sounds like a perfectly reasonable way to ask a question. But for a guy, the presumption behind it is, no, you don't. You're attacking my abilities. I know the looks on your faces, ladies, but you have to realize how incredibly sensitive we are. You just don't know. You don't know how incredibly sensitive we are. Next item, respect in public. Respect your husband in public. And this is huge, as Bruce mentioned a moment ago. One guy said, my wife says things about me in public that she thinks are teasing, but for me, it is torture. Like I said a moment ago, the male ego is incredibly fragile. Now, don't think that guys, now there are some who are just arrogant and cocky. This isn't a matter of pride. This is a matter of feeling adequate. Feeling adequate. And if you criticize or make fun of or tease your husband in public, you are destroying him. And by the way, another tidbit to go along with that is that when you do that, you are destroying him in the eyes of the other men in the room to the point that they will not look the same at him again. They will think, not so great. Yes, sir.
I would go so far as to say that the absence of that feeling of inadequacy is in fact a pathology. And people who have that act in ways and have behavior patterns that we don't understand, and it's because they don't have that check. You know, it's like a Christian's always thinking, am I doing the right thing? Am I, you know, because we're always talking about the secular world wants to believe that we think we have everything right, we know the answers, and you know, and we don't, there's no ambivalence. But there's a lot of ambivalence in Christian life because of course you can't live the Christian life by yourself.
Yes.
And so it's a very difficult thing, and that's sort of, but it goes right along with this feeling of attitude. The people who don't feel that have a great deal of difficulty functioning socially in an acceptable manner.
That is very good, Bruce. Thank you. Finally, respect in assumptions. Your presumption about your husband and his reactions, his abilities, and all that kind of stuff, that affects your husband so negatively if you assume the worst. Remember when we studied 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7? Believes all things. That was such a powerful statement in that verse. Believes all things. That you believe the best, you think the best, you assume the best. That is so important. So how do you show a man respect? And we are about 3 minutes from being done, by the way, so don't get edgy. How are we doing? Oh, yeah. No problemo. All right, so how do you show your man respect? We've talked about many practical examples. Trust, appreciation, admiration, belief, honor. Listen to this statement. If a man's wife is supportive and believes in him, he can conquer the world. Or at least his little corner of it. He will do better at home, he'll do better at work, he'll do better everywhere. By contrast, very few men can do well at work or at home if their wives make them feel inadequate. You have a great power, ladies. And I suggest, I ask and commend that you use your power for good. All right, briefly, the thing that made me want to shout as I was studying this stuff. Let's look at the scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Amazing, amazing how that statistically, the studies that they did that resulted in this information that we're talking about this morning, just brings out God's wisdom so wonderfully in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Scripture says, nevertheless, remember this passage for context. This passage is the section of Scripture, probably what I believe is the best single section in the whole Bible about marriage. Well, this last verse, this is the conclusion of it. After all that stuff that he said about how the husband was to, you know, be willing to give his life for his wife and comparing our marriages to Jesus and the church, after all that section, his conclusion is this sentence. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. Isn't that amazing that statistically we find that's how we are wired. Women need to be loved, feel loved. Guys need to be and feel respected. And if you look here in at these words, they are the statement to women is a command. Love your husbands. Keep loving your husbands. Continuously love, excuse me, sorry, respect your husbands. Keep respecting. And in fact, let me read this other translation, which I think really brings it out. He says, husbands, be loving your own wives continuously, a command. Be loving your own wives. And wives, be continually treating your husband with respect. A daily, continuous thing that we all do. He never tells the wife to love her husband. Two reasons for that. One is, as we've studied, that's really not the big deal for the guy anyway. But second of all, wives, you naturally love. That's normal for you. That's what you want to receive. That, like we talked earlier, that's what you will naturally give, love. That's not what we need nearly as much as we need your respect. He never tells the guys, respect your wives. You wouldn't really care that much in the first place. Second of all, since that's what we want, we're probably going to be doing that pretty well anyway. What he tells us is to do what the other needs. Husbands, love your wives. Keep loving your wives. Do the things that you did to win her heart. Keep doing them so that she'll know she's loved. And ladies, respect your husbands. Because if you don't, you will limit his effectiveness everywhere, including his ability to love you well. All right? Okay, well, there you go. Happy Valentine's Day. Hopefully this was practical and useful. It was, to me, just huge. Maybe once again, this one was for me. You never know. But anyway, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. God, thank you so much for allowing us to be together this morning. And even though it's a man-made thing that we celebrate today, thank you for the line in the sand that we call Valentine's Day that reminds us to take special time to love our spouses. Help us today to have opportunity to focus on them. Help us to be able to love effectively our wives as husbands. God, please help the ladies in here be able to respect their husbands effectively. Please bring this stuff home in ways that will make it really practical. Help us to learn how to live it more. Please help our marriages, Lord, to be stronger, better representations of you, Jesus, and the church, better examples for our children, and more fulfilling for ourselves. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.